We're going to read the first five verses, but we'll hit it all. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you excited to be in God's house today?
Amen.
Are you waiting in eager anticipation to have him? I hope you want the Lord Jesus Christ to speak right to your heart this morning. I trust that you want the Holy Spirit to talk to you. I hope you come in here going, Lord, I need to hear from you today. Is that your prayer? I'm going to read the word. We're going to pray that prayer that you say, Lord, speak right to my heart. I interviewed somebody the other day. They said, when I show up for church, it is as if God is speaking right to me, that your sermon is crafted just for me. And I'd tell that person, well, it's not. But the Holy Ghost will send it your way if you ask. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go. We're a little past. Matthew chapter 8. Verses 26 through 31, reading of the man of the tomb at the tombs. Oh, I'm sorry. What's wild? What is totally wild? The same story is in Matthew chapter 8. Yeah, it is. You look at them, they're parallel right there. All right, I'm sorry. Luke chapter 8. Thank you for that correction. Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 31. The Bible says, they sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. And when Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes. Get a picture of that, would you? For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man, and many times it seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot, kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he said, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, and our prayer is that prayer. Speak to me, God. Lord, I come in this morning not to go to church, but to hear from my Creator, to hear from my Savior, to hear from my King, to hear from the Creator of the universe, that you would speak to my heart this morning, Lord. I come hungering and thirsting after a message from you. Do you want to hear from him this morning? Do you want to hear from him? All God's people said, amen. All God's people said, what?
Amen.
I almost couldn't hear you. It's almost like, well, I don't, because there are some people who don't really want to hear from God. When God speaks, he says stuff you don't want to hear. Watch out now. Messing with monsters. Let's talk about vampires. I ain't talking about these new vampires, these ones who sprinkle and shine and do all kinds of stuff. You know, I don't get it when the vampires are the good guys. All right? I'm not talking, you know, we're talking about Dracula. Okay? You remember Dracula when you were a kid? I remember going to see Dracula when I was 8 years old. I did not sleep for a week. Anybody, can I get a witness on that? Anybody know what I am talking about? I remember begging my mom, please, mom, please, let me go see this. She goes, you'll be so scared when you come home. I said, no, I want for a week. For a week, I did not. See, because this guy, the Dracula man, he turned into smoke, come right into your house, right? Turn into a bat, snake, lizard, all kinds of stuff. Dude was magic, man. And what he did was he went around killing people. He'd just eat you up. And the movies back in the day, you know, I was almost thinking, and I get one, but, you know, they were like, great, you know, grade B 1960s movie. I mean, how bad could that be? But now I'm thinking I'm not going to spend time going back and trying to find that one that I found, but that I remember being terrified by. But, you know, basically the movie is you got Dracula. And then you got, you know, a couple of people that he had munched on and turned into vampires. They're like his little slave servants. And then you got the one kind of Igor kind of guy, you know, that, you know, yes, you know. And he'd go around, you know, digging up the graves and doing all that stuff for him, right? And they go around killing people and munching people. And, you know, it's like, man, look at this. And you're just terrified. Why? Because we're the people. And then you have the vampire killer. Yeah, man. And he comes along, and I mean, you're going to kill a vampire, and he goes in the sunlight. You know, he does the garlic, a cross, holy water, all that stuff. But man, a silver bullet, but you're going to get the vampire. You got to have what? Wooden stake through the heart, right? I mean, that's it. And there you go, man. He's got the hammer up. And what happens to Dracula when he gets the stake through his heart? He shrivels up, man, and it's like, ah, you know, and he turns into dust and just crumbles away. No more threat. No more problem. Today's message, messing with monsters. Jesus does. Jesus shows up, walks into some demons, that is, and you know, it's a great story. These demons, we take a look at what has gone on. They had destroyed this guy's life, right? I mean, naked, homeless, living with the dead people. That's pretty messed up, right? And so the destruction that happens because of the demonic realm is real. It's displayed in this guy's life. And realistically, it impacted this whole community. Demons running around, monsters running around. This guy's life messed up, and apparently nobody doing anything about it. And Jesus shows up. Can I get a witness? Amen? And you know, it's better than the movie. Jesus shows up, I mean, not looking for this guy, runs into the demon-possessed man, boom, delivers him, end of story, no more problems, everybody's happy. No. The people asked Jesus to leave. What are you doing, man? Jesus messing everything up. The people would rather live with the demons and the demon-possessed man than live with Jesus. You know somebody like that? You know people like that? There's people like that around here. Why? Why do they do that? Got an answer for you. John chapter 3, verse 9. This is the verdict. What's a verdict? Man, this is decision. This is decided. This is truth. This is the verdict. John chapter 3, verse 19. Light has come into the world. What do we call that light? His name is what? Jesus has come into the world. But men love darkness instead of the light because their deeds were evil. Jesus shows up on the scene, and all of a sudden you realize that what you have been doing has not been lined up on him. Can I get a witness on that part? And rather than be reminded of that, rather than become aware of that, men grab onto darkness and say, get out of here, light. And we read that in this story where Jesus shows up, makes dramatic impact on the kingdom of darkness, and the people say, Jesus, would you leave? Because we would rather have the darkness. People had peace. You want peace? How you doing in your life? Most of us, many of us, just getting by. These people had the dude all chained up, broke the chains, ran out by the tombs. Only mattered when somebody died. Go have a funeral, let the guy stay in the tombs. We're all good. Don't mess with our stuff. We just want to get by. You want more than just to get by? Amen. Jesus is about more than getting by. Jesus said, we're in this series called Being Touched by God. He says you're going to receive power, right? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon me, and you're going to be my witness. There was no witness here. There was just destruction. And I'm telling you, I look at this community, and there is a need for what? There is a need for a witness. Because there's a need for a witness, there is the availability of power. God's not looking for people just wanting to get by. God's looking for people who want to have an impact. He says, time to get in, time to get busy. Time to get in. Time to get busy. Nobody involved in gatherings. Nobody busy in gatherings. Jesus shows up, makes a difference, and he says, I'll equip you to do what I have been doing. Get in. Get busy. Messing with monsters. Let's take a look. Have I got your attention? We're good now? You know somebody who needs to get touched by the power of God? You do? Put your hand up if you do. If you know somebody who needs to be touched by the Spirit of God and the power of God, you are that vehicle. God has just spoken. If you prayed that prayer, God, speak to me today. He just spoke to you. He said, that person I brought to your mind, you are the vehicle to reach them. Messing with monsters. Let's take a look. Number one, demons are destructive. They sailed to the region of Gerasenes, which is across from the Lake of Galilee. And when Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. And for a long time, the man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. Jesus finds a problem. Does that sound like a problem to you? A naked, homeless man living out in the graveyard. You know somebody like that? These pictures that I'm flashing up here, these are pictures of homeless people in San Diego. And you know what? You've seen those guys? Yeah? That is one scary-looking dude right there. That is a guy who looks like he has an issue. We read about this demon-possessed man. He did not get that way in one day. Says that there was a legion. My name is Legion. A Roman legion, which is what they would have been familiar with in that day, had between 5 and 6,000 men. We are legion. Can you imagine being possessed by 5 to 6,000 demons? Wow. Blows my mind. Just kind of hits my heart right there. You know what? He probably started with one. Makes sense? I don't know that 5,000 just showed up on day. Jesus talks elsewhere about how demons roll. Says, you know what? The demon be out, going through arid places, comes, finds a nice spot, like you, like your loved one, and he says, whoa, this is nice, and he goes and gets 7 more demons, more evil than himself. Well, I tell you what, if those 7 go get 7, right, you go from 1 to 49, and then those 7 go get more, you're going 350, it don't take long to get to 5,000. I'm just talking boom, 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 a couple little trips. That's how the demons roll. They are messing with this guy, destroying his life. And you know what they did? They drove him into isolation. Bible says what? Not good for man to be alone. Enemy wants to get you alone. Hear Roki up here talking about, I want to quit. I want to quit and go do what? Go get alone, right, Roke? And the enemy gets you alone and just start whooping on you and whooping on you and whooping on you. Aaron said, or no, Roki said, where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, I am right there with you, right? Says 2 can put how many to flight? 10,000 to flight. There's 5,000 here. 2 people who know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Hook this guy up like that. Who do you know that needs to be touched by the Holy Ghost? Who do you know that is embracing darkness rather than light? Who do you know that would rather be hanging with the demons than hanging with Jesus? You got to get in and you got to get busy. Can I get a witness on that? You are God's vehicle for restoration and reconciliation in that person's life. That's why you're here this morning, and that is why God has put that person on your heart this morning, saying, you got a part in my plan. Don't let the devil get you off track. Don't let the devil get you alone. You see somebody off and isolated, go rescue them by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Yeah. All right. Point number 2. Here we go. But Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Most people are just looking for safety. Most people just looking to get by, man. Just get me through today. Get me through the weekend. What was it, lover boy living for the weekend, right? Just get me through. This guy was chained up. Mark gives us some more details about this guy. Gives us a little bit more expanded thing. Read from Mark chapter 5, 4 and 5. He says, he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart, broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Night and day among the tombs and in the hills, he would cry out, help me! Or just scream out in torment. Cut himself with stones. Cutting's a big a fad now with young people. Don't feel anything. They want to feel something, so they cut themselves. Here's this guy bound by 5,000 to 6,000 demons. Trying to find some help. Trying to find some escape. People around him not doing much. Lock him up. Hold him down. Get him out of here. Sometimes we respond that way. We just want to have peace. God's called us to more than peace. God has called us to get in and get busy. He says, I'll empower you to do that. Challenges around us. We don't need any more drama. Often enough to go around. I don't need to step anything new, Pastor. I'm just trying to deal with my stuff. God still will call you to more. God will call you to get busy. If you're just dealing with your stuff and you don't care, you don't need his power. Says, I guess you can just get by on your own. So we have this thing, especially in the hood, the code of the hood. You don't mess with me, and I won't mess with you. Anybody, Shelly, you know that part, right? You don't tell on me, I won't tell on you. Go ahead and steal all you want. Just don't steal from me or mine. I might do a little stealing on my own. I won't steal from you and yours. But you're stealing from somebody who's got some family somewhere. See, the code of the hood breaks down. And we got problems. Where? In the hood. Why? Because we got thieves everywhere. And nobody telling on them. Nobody taking a step to make an impact. Can I get a witness, please? I'll tell you what. We went Friday night to James Dobson, Dr. James Dobson. And I'll tell you what. I've heard Focus on the Family. I don't want to offend anybody. This old man talking. Yeah, he sounded like my grandpa. But I'll tell you what, man. They showed a sermon on tape from 1978. This guy bringing it. I am telling you, I am a fan of preaching. This is one of the best sermons I have ever seen in my life. This guy just brought it hard. It was incredible. Power of God, the anointing. From a tape from 35 years ago. Incredible, incredible, incredible. He brought up a statistic when he was talking live, because he did a session and then he did a tape thing. He said, talking about the need for leaders in the home, need for leaders in the community, the need for people to have impact, that 75% of the children, of the African-American children born in the United States, 75% grow up in a home with no father. 75%. I believe the Hispanic number is about 56. And I could be wrong. It might be in the 60s. He said, the lack of a father, the lack of a person with impact is destroying our culture. My father went to prison when I was 16. I was out of control. And my mom, just trying to get by. You do what you want. I got three other kids I'm trying to raise. Just don't mess me up too bad, and you can do whatever you want. That doesn't work. It doesn't work. God calls us to get in and to get busy. That's why you're here today. All right. A conversation with demons. All right, now we're moving in, I think, to new term. Oh, yeah, no, we're still rereading. Bible says, when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet. Get that picture. Shouting at the top of his voice, what do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me. A radical change of behavior. This is the guy who was out of control. This is the guy that chains could not hold. He was radical, right? Chains. Break them chains. But where was he now? On his face before Jesus. Begging. Pleading. Why? Because Jesus had the power, folks. And Jesus had the right. Why were they afraid of being tortured? Because they had been cast out of heaven. Why? For following the devil. They had made some poor choices, and they knew it. They knew who Jesus was. They knew of his power. It's not like they were trying. There is no story in the Bible where the demons try to pile on Jesus. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, there's Jesus. Let's get him. The Pharisees do. Morons. The demons don't attack. The demons get on their face before Jesus. Don't torture us. They were liable to torture. They had followed Satan, and they were still following Satan. And they're begging Jesus for mercy. How different. How different than the picture we get from the seven sons of Sceva, who are casting out demons in the name of Jesus. And they run into one guy with, I think, seven demons. No, seven sons of Sceva. One day, the evil spirit answered them, I cast you out. We cast you out. Seven sons of Sceva. We're training. We got power. We got money. We cast you out in the name of Jesus. Jesus, I know. And I know about Paul. But who are you? And the man who had the evil spirit jumped on the seven sons of Sceva, overpowered them all, gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked. Now, that's a demon just messing with them, eh? He could have beat them up, but he beat them up and stripped them naked too. Why? Humiliation. Messing with you. What was going on? 5,000 Jesus, 5,000 demons on their face before Jesus. Oh, please, 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 please. Give us mercy. What's your name? Legion, he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged him repeatedly, do not order us to go into the abyss. These demons know where they're headed. Back to verse 29. What do you want with us, Son of God? Have you come to torture us before the appointed time? I'm sorry. See how it's lined up? That's Matthew 8:29. There is a time when the demons are going to get squared away. Right? There is a lake of burning sulfur in which the demonics, the demons, the Antichrist, the beast shall be thrown into. Sulfur burns at 2,000 degrees. 2,000 degrees. Lisa was boiling some pasta today, and her sleeve caught the pot, and the water almost slipped over on her. Boiling water, oh my. 212 degrees. 2,000 degrees. Is that qualifies for torture? For how long? Eternity. Ever. That's why I say forever and ever and ever and ever. get a feel for eternity. Have you come to torture us when? Before the appointed time. Don't do it now. We know it's coming. We know you got the right. We know you got the power. Because, see, even Satan will be thrown into the lake of burning sulfur. But it's not just for demons. Not just for the Antichrist and the beast and Satan. Bible says, Revelation 21:8, the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral. Roki talked in his announcements today about those who are single. Are you living pure? Forever and ever and ever and ever. 2,000 degrees. The cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters, and all liars. Their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. And this is the second death. No mercy to the monsters. Come on, Jesus. What are you talking to these guys? Look at this guy, naked, out of control, living in the graves. Annihilate these guys. No, don't even talk to them. Do your job, Jesus. That's not Jesus' job. There is no record of Jesus ever killing, annihilating, or doing anything like that to any demon. What? We're looking for the vampire killer here. We're looking for the monster killer here. Jesus, come on and handle this stuff. If it's not Jesus' job to kill the monsters, what's his job? Who wants to know? No one? All right, you want to know? Put your hand up. Well, I'm glad you asked. We'll just move right on. All right. A large herd of pigs. Now, I know Julian Roe can be sitting back there. See? Don't eat pig. That's not the target of this story. Large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. 2,000, by the way. Demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs. You're saying, no, kill them. 5,000 demons right there. Just waste them. He gave them permission. What are you doing, Lord? When the demons came out of the men, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned, the whole herd. When those tending the pigs saw what happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside. Oh, we lost the pigs! When they came to Jesus, they found the man. I'm sorry. The people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, and they had a fiesta. They grabbed all them dead pigs. They made carnitas. And they had a celebration. No. No. When they came to Jesus and saw the man from whom, I mean, where is your heart? Where is your, there's Fred, man, the demon-possessed guy. Let's go, Fred. They were afraid. They were afraid? He just healed the demon-possessed guy? I would want to get in on it. They're afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people of the region of Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave. We don't want you around here anymore. We'd rather have the demons and the demon-possessed man than you. And a man set free. Does that hurt your soul? That hurts my soul. I know people who make that choice. Damage of the demon. Lived on an orphanage. Met Julie there. awesome woman of God. Parenting issues, folks. She raised 24 kids. She's the bomb. She is the bomb. While I was on the orphanage, I raised pigs. Started with one. The magic thing about pigs, they multiply. Thought I had one. I got it. It was already pregnant. And pigs are not beautiful animals. And we would raise them. I had like eight. And we raised the little pigs. You'd be about 200 pounds. And then we made them into carnitas. We had church. And I'm telling you, mama was about 600 pounds. And one day we killed the mama and ate her too. I know. It's not Mother's Day. Come on. But I checked. Average stuff. Herd of 2,000 pigs worth $500,000 today. $500,000. I could be wrong. Rough estimates. But that was some significant wealth. And that would have been a large food source for the area. And a job source as well, because, I mean, you got the guys that are growing the pigs, and you slaughter them, you eat them, you know, cook them, you know, at restaurants maybe, they're getting these pigs. Gentile area, I mean, talk about Legion, talk about all this stuff, right? Jews don't eat pigs. They weren't vegan, but they don't eat pigs. They asked Jesus to leave. Didn't want anything to do with Jesus. And you know what? Jesus left. What? What is up with Jesus? Come on now. He don't even destroy the demons. And then he kind of punks out, leave, and he's like, okay, bye. You want Jesus out of your life? All you got to do is ask. There are people around you that have made the choice, I don't want Jesus. You know what? He moves on looking for someone who does. Looking for someone who does. Let's move on. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to stay with Jesus. Now, does that make sense? Right? That, okay, hey, come on. We got us a brand new believer here. Guy's been out of his mind, demon-possessed. You know, sounds kind of like Rocky. Out of his mind. Sounds kind of like me. Sounds like a lot of us. Out of our mind. Get saved and says, Jesus, I want to hang with you. And he says, sorry. You stay here. What? Come on, Jesus, you don't destroy the demons. You let them kill the pigs. The people, lost in sin, ask you to leave and you leave. And the guy who gets saved, this brand new baby Christian, we got to put him in a cocoon. We got to take care of him. Oh, we might hurt him. He wants to come and you say, no, you stay. Oh, man, I'm a little confused. Anybody else confused by this? You go home and you tell how much God has done for you. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you're going to be my what? My witness, right? And he's going to leave this guy here in this town to do what? To be his witness, right? What is available to this guy? Power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you know what? There is 5,000 demons roaming around the countryside. These people are going to realize what? They got a dramatic need for the Lord Jesus Christ. Pretty soon, amen? And this guy is a walking advertisement. Look what Jesus can do for you. There's a place in the plan, folks. You are here because God has put a person on your heart this morning. He has a place in the plan for you. You have to get in, and you have to get busy. Amen? You making a difference? You have an impact? You flowing in the power of God? You know what was so cool this morning? I went down and checked on the nursery class. Linda was down there with Shauna. I said, "You guys good?" She goes, "Yeah, I wasn't supposed to be down here today. But you know what? There wasn't nobody else. Here I am." She's looking to do more than get by. Amen?
Amen.
Messing with monsters. They are all around, folks. They're around you, around this community. You know what Jesus says? Jesus says, "I'm going to build my church. I'm going to build my church. This right here is a church, not this building. All these people in here. You look around. This is the church right here. Little lean today, by the way. Little lean. People got stuff going on. Attack of the devil doing what? Bringing people to isolation. Right? God speaking to anybody today, by the way? Anybody? Anybody? See, that's why the devil didn't want all them other people here. Oh, no, 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 no. You don't need to hear that one. It says, "I'm going to build my church, and the gates of Hades are not going to prevail against it." And you know what the picture is? Is the church, all of us, pushing back hell. The gates of hell, as they are surrounding this church and surrounding your home and surrounding your family, that you're going out there in the power of the Holy Spirit. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. "I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." The church is going to push it back. That's my plan. And he was planting that plan in one guy that had 5,000 demons. And no, you can't come with me. You won't build the church. You are going to be my representative in this community. How you doing? Are you in? Are you busy? Monsters all around us. What's your response? Somebody say, "Just don't let them mess with me." We can sit around looking for the monster killer. "Please, somebody come here and save me." But there is a third response. You can become a monster killer. Oh, I didn't give that verse. I'll read it for you. Luke chapter 10, verse 19. You got time. Look, flip over there. Should be a page or two. This is the next page if you're there at Luke 8. It says, "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions, to overcome all." Would you say all with me, please? "I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all." All the power of the enemy, nothing will harm you. We are surrounded by challenges. We are surrounded by opposition. "I'll build my church," Jesus says. And nothing's going to come against the church. See, we look at that vampire movie and you got the vampire going around with his minion and you're killing the people and you got the vampire killer. And we see ourselves as the people. She says, "No, I'm not the vampire killer. You're the vampire killer. My job is to empower you." John the Baptist says, "One's coming after me. He says, "I'm baptizing in water. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Spirit with fire." Amen? I'm going to turn you into monster killer. You're just going to walk around stomping the enemy. Now, I'm wondering, did you stomp the enemy this week, or did you just get stomped? Mm-hmm. Or were you just trying to avoid what was going on just so you could get by? I tell you what, folks, 13 glorious years at this place. Hallelujah. It's been a week. I turned 51 on Monday. Great, fabulous Father's Day thing Natty put together. At least you can come on up. Natty put a great thing, and so many of you ladies helped with that, and it was a wonderful thing, and I ate stuff that I shouldn't be eating. I'm a diabetic, and Lisa goes, "Yeah, you fell asleep with the light on Sunday night." I was all jacked up on sugar, and I forgot to take my insulin. Well, that's not good. No, 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 no. And so I wake up, and I'm just whacked out. My sugar's all gone. I take my insulin. It's all that kind of stuff. And I come down here on my birthday morning, and I run right into some drama. And I'm meeting with people and doing stuff, and my sugar's all messed up. Feeling getting pushed in, man. Gates of hell pushing in. Tuesday morning comes, running a little bit more drama. Got a meeting here, meeting there. Kind of getting squared away. Coming in and getting attacked. Wednesday comes. And I start getting sick. Think of my stomach. 13 years. I cannot remember one service in 13 years I have ever missed because I've been sick. Cannot think. I'm thinking, I'm going home. I am sick. One of them stomach things will get you. But you know what? I ran into a young man, 7, 8, 9 years old, something like that, and he had a little attention on Wednesday night. And I sat with him. He was not happy I sat with him. I wasn't all that happy to sit with him either. And I'm sick, and I'm just, in the midst of this, folks, I'm just let you know. Monday, I began to just call out to God. And I don't sit and pray out loud and all that kind of stuff. I pray on the move. Okay? And I'm calling God. I mean, I need you to meet me in this meeting. Lord, I need your provision. I need your power, Lord. How, you know, and the attack I mentioned last week extended into the previous week. And so I came home from church the previous week and prayed the protection of God for my family. Went to L.A. and came back just because of all the drama. Or I think it was Wednesday night. That the attack, man. Monsters around. Monsters are real. The vampires are real. So I'm praying, man. Come Tuesday, I am praying. Come Wednesday, I am praying. Thursday, I literally am praying almost nonstop. The whole day. I mean, you would have known it. You would not have known it to look at me. But I am just, God, oh God, oh God, oh God. I mean, I got people that are having issues. I got to try and, you know, talk about that umbrella. I'm praying for people. I got to meet people. I need wisdom to deal with stuff. I got my body is railing against me. Lord Jesus, and I am telling you, Friday, I am charged. I mean, come Friday, I'm normally out. And we go see James Dobson, and I got and Lisa goes, "You're going?" I said, "I'm ready." Woo! And I am lit by that message. And Saturday comes, and I am ballistic. Right? I am super. I told Lisa, I am super. She's 13 years. She ain't missed too many services either. She, you know, come after the Father's Day thing. She got this heel spur. She couldn't even stand. Went to the throat doctor because she's got this thing with her throat that she's been struggling with for 4 years. All kinds of attack going on. And I'm telling her, the Lord Jesus Christ is with us in the midst of this attack. I am supercharged today, Lisa. You got to cast your cares upon Him. He will meet you in the midst of your challenge. And yesterday at 2 o'clock, I'm going to the auto parts store. And I begin to get a migraine. And some of you, if you get migraines, it starts off for me a little tiny little visual thing, and pretty soon I can barely see. And I'm supercharged. And I'm thinking, God, what is this? What is this? I got to preach. And there was this hint of fear. Began to pray. I just said, Lord Jesus, you can heal me. Lord, I am your witness. Lord, I need your power, Lord, to come. Lord, I need to be your witness to our people, Lord, that you reign in the midst of spiritual attack. Lord Jesus, I need your healing touch in my body. I'm driving down Elkhorn Boulevard. I'm preaching. I am praying my guts out. That's how I pray. And I was healed. And I, I don't know what you have going on right now. I do not know what you have going on right now. But do not settle for getting by. Do not settle for chaining up your problem and throwing it out to tombs. God has called you to get in and to get busy. And he says, to do that, I will equip you with power, the same power that I walked around this earth, driving out demons, raising the dead, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, restoring sight to the blind. You'll do that, you'll do even more. Why? Because I'm going to build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And I got to know, are you pushing back or are you being pushed in? Because God has called us to push. And Jesus will equip you and empower you to push and to find victory in your life. Amen. And if you have been being pushed down, push back. Push back. And you can say, Oh Lord, I'm being pushed down. I need your power. I need your spirit to just come upon me. Lord, I need to meet you, Lord. I need to be equipped by you. I need to be healed by you. We are praying for a job. Come on, folks. He's got jobs. He's got jobs. At least he's going to sing. I don't know what she's going to sing. But as she sings, if the Lord is calling you or speaking to you right now, he's going to be doing it about one of three ways. He's going to say, you're getting pushed around by the devil. This week, you got stomped by the devil and you just kind of whimpering. Please. We ain't have no whimpering in the church. Hey, dude, let me come with you, Jesus. No, you stay, man. You tell the people. You could be that demon-possessed guy, and you just don't get it. He's saying, time to push back. Time to push back. Be here this morning. Saying, Lord, I want to kick them down. Lord, I've been on the sideline. Lord, put in your heart this morning a person that is chained, a person that is bound, a person that is on the sideline. He put that person on your heart for a reason, and you would say, Lord, forgive me for not seeing it till now. I am your man. I am your woman. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. I am your witness. I will speak to that person this week. I am no longer going to be content to get by. I am going to step out and stomp on the plans of the devil. Two things. You've been getting stomped, or you know somebody's getting stomped. The Holy Ghost is the answer for either one. Amen? At least as Lisa begins to sing, Lord is speaking to your heart. I want you to just stand, just raise your hands. Worship the Lord. Say, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit to come and meet me in this place, Lord. I am ready to start kicking back the walls of hell that have been impinging on my life and impinging on the people that I know. Just begin to extend your hands. And don't talk to me. Just talk to God. God, here I am. Hallelujah, Lord. I give you praise. I give you praise. That's you. Lisa's going to sing. Sing something, Lisa. You just stand where you're at. Extend your hands and say, here I am. Here. Extend your hands and say, here I am. Here. Extend your hands and say, here I am. Here. Extend your hands and say, here I am. Here. Extend your hands and say, here I am. Here. Extend your hands and say, here I am.